Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I hope you're doing well today and that you're experiencing the Holy Spirit renewing you day by day. Well, I just got done with a seminar in Columbus, Ohio. We had an absolutely fantastic time. Altogether at Heritage Church, we had people from, several provinces in Canada. We had people from Florida, out west, all around the Ohio, Pennsylvania area. It was simply great. And we had a number of folks come up from Nashville. We had just been down there, and yet they wanted to come to another event, and it was good to see them all. And we were all blessed by being in the presence of the Lord. There was one particular day, the end of the first day, when something very exciting happened, as it often does. I had asked John Lieb to do a teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how important that is when we're dealing with issues of formational prayer, all kinds of spiritual formation, of course, the Christian life. It's critical that we understand the issue of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And after he did that, my son Aaron led in a time of worship, and then John opened the opportunity, as we always encourage him to do, for people that wanted to have a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit to get prayer, and the caregivers line up in whatever room we're spending time in, and whenever someone wants to stand or raise their hand, they go over and they pray for them. If they are okay with it, they lay hands on them in order that people will receive, as I said, a fresh touch, a fresh infilling of the Lord. Well, every once in a while, there are these moments where it seems that heaven opens for us, and there was a unique and wonderful outpouring of God's presence. Some people had real serious touch of the Holy Spirit in their lives. There were individuals that received some healing. One person that was really feeling shut down received prayer, and God opened their heart. So it was actually quite exciting, and John even had some, if you will, impressions from the Lord of things God wanted to do, and so he called it out, and there were people there just like that, and they received prayer, and we had a dynamic time in the presence of the Lord. Now, having said that, there were, at the end of our session, out of the many people that were there, some that kind of made their way to find me, and they talked about feeling uncomfortable. That's kind of the way they said it. I wasn't comfortable with what happened here today. Some people talked about being a bit nervous. Some people talked about being out of their element. And it led me that night to spend some time really waiting on the Lord in order to talk about this issue of what happens when we feel somewhat uncomfortable and how at times that can still be the Holy Spirit that's moving. You know, love feels dangerous sometimes. It's not always a warm fuzzy. At times, love comes to such a degree that it's really asking us to lay down some things in order to embrace other things. And certainly the love of God is like that. And even though something is powerful, it can, in fact, make us uncomfortable. Yet for some people, while they're open and somewhat cautious, they just didn't feel that what was happening was within their comfort zone. And I get that. I want to assure you, anyone that's listening, there have been times when the Lord has worked and the Holy Spirit has poured out his presence. And I have to be honest, I had to be willing to admit that I was outside of my comfort zone. And so how do we evaluate that when, in fact, there are these responses that indicate that, well, as good as other people found this, I found it rather challenging, they might say. So I'm going to talk to you about this, and I'm going to bring up four thoughts. And the first thought is this. When we're in a situation where the Holy Spirit is moving, God is moving, or in a moving where things are happening that, in fact, are tapping a comfort level inside of us, we need to ask, what is it that's making us uncomfortable? And I think the first thing is it could be something inside of us. Do you know that if we are experiencing some level of insecurity or wounding or we've had past teachings where God has ended all this before and that the Holy Spirit does everything in order and it's always gentle. If we've been taught that way, it in fact can be very discomforting when we're in a moment and it feels like, wow, this is at least beyond my normal experience and to some degrees out of my control. You know, I think that's part of what went on with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they had already made up their mind as to what God was going to do and how God was going to work, what was right and what was wrong. And when Jesus comes and he does things that are outside of their frame of reference, they automatically determine that's not God. And they couldn't have been more wrong. I also think of the story of David's wife, Michal, and how David was dancing before the Lord, and he was in this ecstatic moment of God's presence. And the Bible says that Michal despised him. But the Bible doesn't end there. It goes on to say that she lived her life as a desolate woman. What am I saying there? Well, sometimes our discomfort is really in us. It's not about what's happening around us. And if, in fact, we close our hearts to what might be unusual manifestations of God's presence and power, we can miss the movement of the kingdom of God. And we can miss the blessing that God wants to give us. This is why it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, make sure you test everything. Test it. Don't just reject it. Test it. Hold on to what is good. Let go of that which is not of the Lord. And so there's my first point, that sometimes when we're in a situation we feel uncomfortable, we need to look inside because that discomfort could really be about us. Well, secondly, I think there's a discomfort that comes in those kinds of settings from the evil one. That's right. I hope you don't think that when God begins to move, the evil one runs away. One of my mentors, David Watson, used to say, when God begins to work, Satan becomes equally active, but his purposes are completely contrary to God. He's always acting. He wants to act in such a way so that he can legitimize his opposition and get people to turn away from what is a kingdom movement. And I think this is why we have to have great discernment before we decide, well, something's just not of God. You know, in the great revival that took place in the early 18th century, particularly under Jonathan Edwards, but not also without influence of people like John Wesley, there were manifestations of God's presence that people just didn't feel comfortable with, and a whole movement rose up against what they called enthusiasm, which would have been affect-related outpourings of the Holy Spirit that affected people in ways they weren't accustomed to. And while these people didn't know it, their effort at what they thought was eliminating what made them uncomfortable was actually a movement contrary to the purposes of God. And so we want to pray, Lord, where are you in this? Because one thing you need to know, whenever God is at work, the Holy Spirit is active, but he doesn't show up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. He often comes in the form of people that appear to be religious and followers, and yet he stirs their discomfort in such a way to try to distract people from the movement of God. Okay, there's a third reason that someone could begin to feel discomfort if you're in a service like this. And it's something we talk about all the time in our leadership core. And that is that there could be things happening that the leader does that unnecessarily make people feel insecure. I think that's true when someone comes across too authoritatively, thus saith the Lord, even if they are getting an impression from the Lord. I think that's dangerous. We have to let people know they don't have to suspend their own judgment. Plus, I've always been of the opinion that when God does speak, we don't have to tell people he's speaking. They get to sense it in their own heart. I think sometimes, too, we don't understand why it's so important as a leader that when we begin to minister to people that we seek permission We don't grab somebody. We don't lay our hand on them. We don't get in any way assertive with them. We ask permission. May I pray for you? Would it be okay if I laid my hand on your shoulder? That's an important thing to recognize, because someone that's a little forceful, that can back people off. And so really the discomfort is more about the leader's style than it is about what God is doing. One of the things we say also is to invite, never command. Always invite people to participate. Not only would it be okay, but would you like to? Would you like to receive prayer? Some people could be in a meeting like this and the Holy Spirit gets to move, and all of a sudden a leader in his enthusiasm or her enthusiasm moves over, lays hands on them, begins to pray, didn't ask questions, didn't seek permission. I think that's wrong, because it can unnecessarily make someone uncomfortable. All we have to do is say, would you mind, would you like? I think also it's important that we always ask and not tell. For example, what if someone were in a service leading and they had this sense, they saw someone and they had this sense that they have a lot of disappointment in their life? I don't think it's always helpful to, from up front, call out and say, oh, you over there in the brown shirt, I see that you've lived with disappointment. I'm not sure that's helpful. I think it's more helpful to go up to them and say, you know, I sense the Lord on you. I wonder if there are times when you experience disappointment. It gives people a buy-in. It allows them to say yes to what's going on inside. And so I think any one of those three things can make us uncomfortable: our own unaddressed issues, the ministry of the evil one, and sometimes the style, if you will, and maybe I would say the insensitivity of the person that's leading up front. Now, that's one thing we work on all the time, and I know all of our team, they're committed to that. Whoever's leading up front, that's something that they believe is very, very important. But let me give you a fourth reason why people could get uncomfortable when God begins to move in the Holy Spirit. It's because Jesus says and does uncomfortable things. Did you hear that? Jesus says and does uncomfortable things, and I want to talk about that at three levels. One, there are times in Scripture it's crystal clear that Jesus allowed things to happen that made other people very uncomfortable. And he didn't shut down what they were doing just because someone was uncomfortable. Now, there are several examples, but let me give you two. When the disciples were walking through the field and they start to eat the heads of wheat, man, this really fried the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, and Jesus didn't shut it down. He explained what was happening, but he didn't say to his disciples, hey, you better not do that because they're uncomfortable. Oh, I do have two other examples instead of just two. I have three. That, also the fact that there were times where they didn't wash their hands, which was a ceremonial requirement, and it made people uncomfortable. And once again, Jesus, he didn't try to deal with people's discomfort. He allowed the uncomfortable to take place. I think he saw it as possibly challenging people. But there's a third story in the Bible where Jesus made people uncomfortable or allowed something uncomfortable happen. And that was when the woman came in and washed his feet. Can you imagine how uncomfortable the other people were to be at a private dinner, to have a prostitute come in, let down her hair, begin to cry, wash Jesus' feet with the tears and wipe it with her hair? I mean, they were probably terribly uncomfortable. I wouldn't even go so far, if you read the text, that after that, Judas started to think very seriously about betraying Jesus. You see, sometimes Jesus just allows things that make other people feel uncomfortable happen. And so I can't use as my guideline as to what I'm going to let happen in an event whether or not it keeps everybody there comfortable or not. Okay, let me give you another thing. Jesus sometimes said things that made people uncomfortable. He not only allowed uncomforting things to happen, he said some things that made people uncomfortable. Here's one. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be mine. You know how uncomfortable that made people feel? Many of them left at Jesus. The crowd dispersed. Followers decided, I can't do this. I don't think Jesus sat beforehand and thought, now, what's an easy way I can make this point and say it so everybody stays on board, everybody continues to follow me? No, he laid it right on the line. He wanted people to understand what it was involved for them to follow him. I think it made Nicodemus uncomfortable when Jesus said, "You must be born again." I do. I think he was confused by it. He wanted the kingdom, but that teaching, it just didn't seem to make complete sense to Nicodemus. And yet, Jesus came right back at it. I said, once you need to be born again, I'm telling you again, you've got to be born again. So I want you to think about this. We're in a setting, you are in a setting, the Holy Spirit begins to move. And some people, maybe me, maybe you, are going to judge whether it's of God or not based on how uncomfortable we feel. Well, let's just be cautious. Sometimes that discomfort is us. Sometimes that discomfort is the evil one. Yes, sometimes that discomfort comes from the leader, and we need to recognize that. But sometimes the discomfort comes because Jesus allows discomfort as a way of stretching us, but he also sometimes says things that make us uncomfortable. Well, let me tell you something else about Jesus. He not only allows or says, but there are times in Scripture he did things that made people uncomfortable. And I don't think there's a story more like that than the story of the man with the withered hand. It's in the Gospel of Mark. Now, here's what you need to understand. People at that time that carried any kind of handicap were seen as cursed. Either they or someone in the previous generations had done something, and this was the result. And because they were seen as cursed, they were often cast aside. They were made fun of. Now, because that was true, you can imagine that some people that had some handicap, they'd do as much as they could to hide that handicap. And I would bet that when this guy went into the synagogue, he let his robe cover that hand. He didn't want people to see that. He didn't want the ridicule. He didn't want the opposition. He didn't want people to notice. So Jesus goes into the synagogue, and he goes there to teach. And somewhere in the middle of the teaching, he says to the man, "Stand up." Now, can you imagine that? If you're in a setting where, wow, you want to be lost in the crowd, and suddenly Jesus himself says, "Stand up." He picks you out of the crowd. And then what he says is, "Stretch out your hand. Stretch out the part of you that you've been working so hard to hide." I think that would have made that man very uncomfortable. And if anyone was there that had any empathic connection to him, they probably felt equally uncomfortable. But what they didn't know is that that obedience, that step of faith, that discomfort, if you will, would lead to this man's healing. And I'm sure after that, there was great joy in his heart that, in fact, that healing could take place. Wow. This is important stuff. This is very important for us to recognize that Jesus himself sometimes allows discomfort, sometimes says discomforting things. At other times, he even did or does things that bring discomfort, but he does it all in order to advance the kingdom. He doesn't do it with the goal of discomfort. He does it to advance the kingdom, and that's why we really have to know more about Jesus and the way of the kingdom and the ministry of the Spirit and be discerning and be next to other people in the kingdom so that we don't end up in somehow missing the movement of the kingdom of God. Now look, certainly whatever's happening has to be consistent with the virtues and values of the kingdom. It needs to be, biblically grounded and founded. It needs to be sound theologically. But certainly we need to understand that discomfort alone cannot be the litmus test for whether or not something is of God or not. God can move in such a way that seems outrageous, but at all times, his goal is to draw us deeper into himself, that we might know Christ more, that we might love Christ more, and that we might become responsible followers, people who walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. So, why don't you and I really go to prayer and say, "Lord, help us not only be more discerning, but also to evaluate. When that level of discomfort comes, let's not make a quick judgment, but let's ask the Lord to guide us because we certainly don't want to miss whatever the Lord is doing. May the Holy Spirit fall out on you. May you have a great encounter as He renews you day by day. And may He stretch us all into the way of the kingdom. God bless.